Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits conversation. Today, I would like to talk about how do you learn, how do you remember, and how do you implement new information? Simon, you had a question, so I'll ask you to kick us off first.
Well, I was just curious about why you use the term information, and then you sort of clarify a little bit that it's the sort of, I've read a book and got some information, and how do I retain that so that it becomes useful knowledge, as it were.
So how do I do that? How do I turn information into knowledge?
Well, at one level, you could just let your brain naturally, expose it to the information. It'll absorb what it needs, and what it needs is becomes knowledge, and release yourself from any obligation to retain everything in the world, because that's a guaranteed trip to depression.
Okay. In the field of trying to help people learn things so that they become knowledge, there's been so many studies and anecdotal proof all over the place that people do it differently. We all might manage how we do things differently. Some people may be more auditory, some people might be more visual. And depending on who you are and how you retain knowledge, I think it's important for people who are teaching or trying to give that knowledge to others to accept that it might not just be one path for everybody. It could be a different path that different people take. I am very physical. I think it's like a kinesthetic kind of style of learning. If I can get into it and test myself and do trials, I seem to retain that more than if I'm simply reading a book. And if I'm reading, I retain it better than if I'm hearing it. So everybody's a little different. Things that we know are similar is that doing things in an intense way doesn't seem to help people as much as that intensity seems to make them feel like they're studying better. And doing things without breaks doesn't seem to help people learn or retain. So some of the things you can say is, if you're going to teach people and you want them to get knowledge, do make them take breaks and do make them break things up in an intensity level. And everything else, I think, is kind of, you have to figure out who the learner is. Hmm.
Is this about learning? Is that your question?
So learning, I feel like, is a progression. Information is like, here's a really cool question that I want to remember to ask a client in XYZ space. How can I not have to have it on a freaking card sitting in front of me so that I can remember it? That's,
I would call that memorizing. So I guess if we're going, we could have a whole discussion on the semantics of the words we're using right now, what they actually mean. And I think I'm using them interchangeably in some ways.
Okay. So
at least that's how I look at giving people other information, knowledge, or memorization are all very unique and individual to other people or yourself.
Matt, you've been really quiet. What do you think?
Oh, well, I agree that it's a very broad inquiry here, learning, remembering, and implementing. And so I agree that with Kristen and Simon that context is pretty important. And what came to mind for me is that most people spend a fair amount of time online. And there's a lot of information that comes along. It's like a conveyor belt, you know, and you reach out and you snap pieces out of there. And it makes me think of Daniel Kahneman's book a few years back, talking about thinking fast and thinking slow. And we do a lot of fast thinking and it's very intuitive, you know, and if you're any good at it, it can be something you remember and you digest. And then that slower part, that rational part of your brain can incorporate that and turn it into something for yourself, whether it's your career or something to do out in the garden that you saw some article, you know, all this is the kind of thing that happens to me. I'm probably not very unusual that way. Getting a lot of data, a lot of information, but then digesting it is very, very challenging because there's so much of it. Whereas in my lifetime, the opposite was true. We didn't have enough data. Mm-hmm. Now we have too much data. And so it seems to me that digesting it, turning it into something, knowledge, is a challenge for our time. And the only trick that I would throw out here that works for me is we all have to-do lists, you know, and mm-hmm. my to-do lists spill into the next day and the next week. Well, I have another list And I took it, I stole it from Winston Churchill, and he put on the top of a piece of paper every day, and it said, action this day. Hmm. And when I put action on this day on anything, that means I'm going to really doggone do it. The other stuff can kind of get pushed out into the future. But that's what came to mind. I know there's a lot of different contexts for your inquiry here.
Over our lifetimes, information has gone from being scarce and you'd buy an encyclopedia to essentially being free. Hmm. And that ability to sift through information and decide what to incorporate into your knowledge base is one of the crucial skills. And you can see it go wrong with all the misinformation that's going around about politics and vaccinations and all that kind of good stuff. It's part of sort of self-mastery, I would guess, is understanding how you learn, remember, and implement new information. And some of that is also going to be a selection criteria.
You think I'm the only person who wants more stuff to like get in my brain and stay there where I can find it? Like, is that unique to my personality?
I certainly think that I like to have as much information at the tip of my fingers. Even I think having a lot of information helps with critical thinking skills. And I'm saying that in a very personal way. It helps me be more critical in my thinking when I can see the different ways that different people process it. Hmm. But yeah, I think you're not alone in the world. Okay.
I think you might be in a small percentage of people that feel a little bit like, you know, it's a not quite a competitive sport, but you know, it's like, I want to be able to do this better. I think, and there's another sort of thing about, there's knowledge in the world and knowledge in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we went back 50 years, what was in your head was really important because interacting with the world of knowledge was quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, well, how much or what kinds of stuff can I just essentially just rely on the internet and Google for? And am I quite, and you know, programmers know this a lot. You know, it's very typical these days. They call it, you know, programming by stack exchange sort of thing. You sort of type in the error and boom, you'll get 50 different pages where people are discussing that error. And the skill of programming in a lot of cases these days is picking which answer.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess I feel like these things, these quick hits, help me integrate knowledge, make information knowledge, because I'm able to talk about it. And I know for me, if I teach something, then I know it. And these conversations help me because I have the opportunity to kind of sort through, what do I think? Where does that information fit? What do I do with it? And then when I need it again, I have different directions that I can get at it, different ways I can find that synapse.
So learning for you is somewhat social.
I would love for learning to be social. That's part of why I do these. And I feel like maybe there are other people out there like me where learning for them would be easier if they could read it, talk about it, take notes on it, talk about it some more. And I know sometimes, my poor husband, sometimes he says to me, Robin, that's a lot of words.
So we were looking at something today. I was looking for Discord servers as examples. There's a 250,000 person Discord server for studying together. And there's something like 100 chat rooms or video rooms where people are studying together or from all over the world. It's like, whoa. Yeah, it's absolutely what you're speaking to.
Yeah, that would be, I think when I was in college, I would have definitely taken advantage of video learning opportunities like that. Because I was always the one showing up at study groups like, let's have a conversation about this. And my colleagues were like, really? So.
Yeah, you get the opportunity to have a lot of different angles too. Our third kid is in college and some engineering, and where the mathematics is challenging, he can just go online and find another teacher teaching him the same thing a different way. Mm-hmm. And he can do that in 20 minutes. And I told him I envy him. I said, I can remember walking through, you know, the aisles of libraries, pulling, you know, books off the shelf and seeing if I could find something to fit some half-baked thesis that I had in my head, rather than actually do the work of acquiring the knowledge in a logical step-by-step manner. And he has that all at his disposal and just looks at me cross-eyed like, boy, Dad, you're old, you know.
Thank you for having this conversation with me. I really enjoyed it. I know for me, and you're right, Simon, integrating knowledge is a competitive sport for me. So I have to keep that in mind. I appreciate it. We'll do it again real soon.